ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओके, वी आर रीडिंग भगवद गीता चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 19। सो यू कैन रिपीट आफ्टर मी। यो माम एवम सम्मूढो जानाति पुरुषोत्तमम्, स सर्ववित् भजति माम् सर्वभावेन भारत। सो वी आर रीडिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is a knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many philosophical speculations about the constitutional position of the living entities and the Supreme Absolute Truth. Now in this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead clearly explains that anyone who knows Lord Krishna to be the Supreme Person is actually the knower of everything. The imperfect knower goes on simply speculating about the Absolute Truth, but the perfect knower, without wasting his valuable time, engages directly in Krishna consciousness, the devotional service of Supreme Lord. Throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita, this fact is being stressed at every step. And still there are so many stubborn commentators on Bhagavad Gita who consider the Supreme Absolute Truth and the living entities to be one and the same. Vedic knowledge is called Shruti, learning by oral reception, learning by hearing. One should actually receive the Vedic message from authorities like Krishna and his representative. Here Krishna distinguishes everything very nicely. One should hear from the source. Simply to hear like hogs. Hogs means pigs. Is not sufficient. One must be able to understand from authorities. It is not that one should simply speculate academically. One should submissively hear from Bhagavad Gita that these living entities are always subordinate to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who is able to understand this according to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, knows the purpose of Vedas. No one else knows the purpose of Vedas. The word bhajati is very significant. In many places, the word bhajati is expressed in relationship and service of Supreme Lord. If a person is engaged in full Krishna consciousness and devotional service of Lord, it is to be understood that he has understood all Vedic knowledge. In Vaishnava Parampara, it is said that if one is engaged in devotional service of Krishna, then there is no need for any other spiritual process for understanding Supreme Absolute Truth. He has already come to the point because he is engaged in devotional service of Lord. He has ended all preliminary processes of understanding. But if anyone after speculating for hundreds of thousands of lives does not come to the point that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and that one has to surrender there, all his speculations for so many years and lives is useless waste of time. Good purport. Okay, let's start. Om Ajnanati Mirandase Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namaha. So, Srila Prabhupada he has written this purport according to the commentaries of Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur and Baldev Vidya Bhushan. It's almost same. And what does Krishna say here? Krishna says, actually Krishna declares, he doesn't say, he declares, Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita up to this point, He would have asked a question. My dear Krishna, you are saying that you are God. If you read 5th chapter, Krishna says in 5th chapter last verse, what's that verse? Bhoktaram yagatapsam sarva loka maheshwaram suhirdam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. So Krishna says 5th chapter last verse, anybody who knows me as Supreme Lord, he will attain peace. So, there are few verses in Bhagavad Gita which establishes that Krishna is supreme. And we should know. One of them is 5th chapter, 29th verse. That's the last verse. And then after that, 6th chapter, last verse. Almost, if you read the last verse of all the chapters, Krishna finishes the chapter by saying, "See, Arjuna, I've told you many things, but don't forget, I am supreme." 6th last verse also Krishna says, so how many verses are there in 6th chapter? 47? 6th chapter, 47th verse, I think. Plus, how many verses are there in 6th chapter? 47. So, last verse Krishna says that, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate rantaratmana. Anybody who worships, of all yogis, who worships me with faith, he is known to be the best yogi. This last, I think 647. So, and then like that, if you go in 7th chapter, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, entire chapter, because Krishna shows his universal form, and then 12th, 13th, 14th, he declares that he is supreme, again and again. So this 15th chapter, and Arjuna has a doubt, although he doesn't say, but in his mind, he thinks well, Krishna, you are saying you are supreme, but so many philosophers say that something else is supreme. Many philosophers, they consider Jyoti is supreme. Many philosophers, they think some impersonal light is supreme. Many other philosophers, they think Lord Shiva is supreme, isn't it? So many others think Durga is supreme, maybe. And many others think I am supreme, because me, I and God is one. And yet many others think that nobody is supreme. Who is supreme? Shunya. Nothing. Nothing is supreme. That's funny. That's Buddhism. So what do you do? So to that question Krishna answers. Answer to that question is this verse. So Krishna says, Yomam evamassam mudo. Krishna says, Arjuna, forget everything. Let people talk whatever they want to talk. People, let them say anything else is supreme. But according to me, Yomam evamassam mudo. Assam mudo means without a doubt. Muda means doubt. Muda means people who keep on doubting. Muda means fool. Fool means who is samshayavadi. Samshayavadi means who doubts. And entire Western civilization is muda, because their entire philosophical system is based on doubt. Doubt is everything. According to their philosophers, doubt is everything. According to Indian philosophers, faith is everything. There's so much difference. Foundation is different. There was one philosopher, Descartes, René Descartes, French philosopher. His philosophy was doubt is everything. Before accepting anything, doubt. You should even doubt yourself, whether you exist or not. That was his. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he was the most foolish person on this planet Earth, because he's doubting himself. You can't doubt these things, no. He started his philosophy. Maybe this world I am seeing, it's not there. He started his philosophy like that. Maybe I am not there. Then what will happen? So this is stupidity. In contrast, Madhvacharya, he starts his philosophy. I can see this world. I can touch it. So many objects, so it is real. Simple. Why do you doubt something which is there right in front of you? Isn't it? This stupidity, no? This stupidity, you doubt. So your husband is in front of you and you say, "My dear husband, maybe you are not there. Maybe, just in case." That's crazy. That's It's a mad person. So you don't doubt those things which you can perceive within time and space, isn't it? You can doubt some magical tricks, some illusion that might be possible. Suppose if you're in a desert, from far, far away, you will see some water. And when you go near, there's no water. So it's called
Mirage.
So you might say, well, you can't believe everything you see, because mirage, that's an illusion, isn't it? So this is a famous example given by Madhvacharya. So he says, well, that's okay. Some things you can see, but they're not there. Just like mirage, water you can see in desert, but it's not there. But when you go near it and you try to touch it, it's not there, isn't it? Vanishes. But reality is not like that. Real objects, if you go near, you touch them, you can touch them, you can hold them, they don't vanish. Illusion vanishes. So anything which you can touch, you can perceive, that's real, finish, you don't doubt. Simple, isn't it? So that's why Krishna says, asammudo. Muda means fool. Muda means people who doubt. At every step. Give me proof. Why do you want proof for everything? This is a disease, no? This is a disease. I want evidence. No, evidence. I want proof. But for everything, you should not ask proof. For example, scripture says, for three things you should never ask proof. First, the chastity of your mother. You should never ask your mother, give me proof that you're chaste. You understand what's chaste? Give me proof. You should never do that. It's beyond etiquettes. You should never ask proof from your guru. Give me proof that you never fall down. Then I will follow you. This is stupid. Westerners might ask, but my Indian tradition, it's not like that, isn't it? And the third thing you should never ask proof is, whatever is real, you should not ask proof. Give me proof whether this door exists or not. Give me proof whether you are hearing me or not. How can I be convinced? Maybe you're not there, maybe you're an illusion. Maybe anurag is an illusion. Maybe, just in case. So this doesn't happen like that, no? If a patient goes to a doctor and patient says, my doctor, I'm having pain in my stomach, give me medicine. So doctor will say, give me proof that you're having pain. What will happen? Two things can happen. That patient will get up and he will thrash him. Nonsense, get out. Or he'll call some police and ask him to put him in some pagal khana, some madhouse. You don't ask proof for everything, no? So Krishna says that asamudo, anybody who knows me without doubt, that's what Prabhupada translates, without doubt, not without foolishness. Muda means foolishness, fool, but Prabhupada translates without doubt, because fool means doubting person, doubting Thomas. Vishwachakri Thakur writes the same thing, Baldevide Vishwanath writes the same thing. So even if so many people are saying so many things, let them say. We don't care. We care what Krishna says. Krishna says, don't worry. I am telling you, I am supreme. Janati Purushottamam. Janati means knows. Purushottamam means, here the word Purushottamam means, Purush means, in scriptures, Purush means two things. One is male, of course, male and female. But in scriptures, Purush means people who are liberated. That's called Purush. Purush is often referred to persons who are conditioned, who are bonded. They are called Purush, who are in illusion. Why? Because they want to enjoy this material world, isn't it? This material world is often called Prakriti, female principle. And people who want to enjoy it, they are called Purusha, isn't it? Because he wants to dominate Prakriti. Just like a male wants to dominate female. So bonded people who are an illusion, they are called souls who are an illusion, they are called Purusha, and God is also called Purush. Because ultimate enjoyer is God. So he is also called Purush. But God is called Param Purush. Or he is called Purushottam. Purushottam. He is called Purushottam. He is Uttam. He is beyond all those Purushas. He is beyond all those souls who are an illusion. Because he is not an illusion. He is called Purushottam. But here Krishna says Purushottamam. He adds superlative degree, no? He is beautiful, more beautiful and
most beautiful.
Or he is, stronger, is there any word like this? He is strong, stronger and strongest. So here we say Purushottam and Purushottamam. So this is superlative degree. So Krishna says, there are many incarnations of mine, like Ram, Varaha, Narasingdev. They are all called Purushottam, Purush Uttam. But I am called Purushottamam. I am even the origin of all those incarnations. They are perfect, but I am most perfect. That's why he uses this word Purushottama. So, the point is, we should not get confused. Prabhupada says, there are many philosophical speculations, but devotee doesn't care about. Devotee doesn't waste his valuable time and engages directly in Krishna consciousness. This might seem as blind faith. This might seem as, you don't have to really know so many things. Just accept what Krishna says. But that's okay. No. Or Krishna says simply accept. You don't waste your time. Otherwise you have to research so many things. After so many lifetimes you will come to conclusion. You come to same conclusion. What Krishna says. Because Krishna never says lies. Krishna is God. Now, third line he says. Now this is interesting. Sa sarvavid bhajati mam. Anybody who knows me without doubt. Sa sarvavid. Sarvavid means, Prabhupada translates as, he knows everything. Now, Vishwachakri Thakur, he writes here in this explanation, sarva means everything, with matlab knows. With means knows. So, he knows everything. So what this means? Sridhar Swami writes in his commentary, this means he becomes sarvagya. He becomes omniscient. He really knows everything. He knows, literally he knows everything. By, for example, Brahma. Brahmaji knows everything, isn't it? If you ask Brahmaji what's happening in Patal, he can just close his eyes and tell you. He knows everything. How? Srimad Bhagavatam, Devarshi Narad, he son of Brahma, went to Brahma, he told Brahma, Brahmaji, see, I think you are God. Because you know everything. God is supposed to know everything, isn't it? That's one of the qualities of God. Nobody else other than Krishna, other than God, is supposed to know everything. Because God is Sarvagya. So, Brahma told Narad, you are a fool. I am not God. Although I know everything, I am not God. There is somebody superior to me, Vishnu or Krishna. So, Narad asked this question. But then how come you know everything? Because definition of God is who knows everything. So this is contradictory, you know. So Brahma tells, see, this is an interesting question. And the answer is, he quotes this verse. Well, he doesn't quote, but he knows Gita. So he tells, see, anybody who knows God, he also knows everything. Because I am in contact with God. So anything I want to know, I simply meditate on Krishna and all the information. If you go on internet, go to Google, download, type a word and you download something. If you have Google, you know everything. No, isn't it? Somebody asks you some question. Yeah, I know everything. And you open your cell phone, type Google. Okay, yeah, see, this is the answer. So that's the point, no? You have some information bank. So if you're in contact with information bank, if you contact with Krishna, you know everything. You can access information. So Rama tells, that's how I know everything. So devotees know everything because they're in contact with Krishna. That's what Sridhar Swami writes. They become omniscient, sarvavid. So for example, Lord Shiva, he also knows everything because he's in contact with Krishna. So that's one meaning. But it doesn't usually happen like that. No, I mean to say, if we become pure devotees, so once somebody went to Prabhupada, one reporter, and they asked Prabhupada, so you are pure devotee. And sir, you are supposed to know everything because you're in contact with Krishna. So can you tell how many windows that building is having? Prabhupada said, you stupid. Prabhupada said, I know everything because I'm in contact with Krishna. So that means I can tell you that this building will get finished in another 100 years. This I know. It's not permanent. So what do we mean by this word sarvavid? Practically, you know. For Brahma and Shiva, this word can be translated as sarvagya, isn't it? For them. But for other pure devotees, this word should not be translated like that, because of course pure devotees do not know everything. So Vishwachakri Thakur says, this means sa sarvavid bhajatimam. This means that Vishwachakri Thakur says that after hearing Krishna said in first two lines, anybody who knows me without doubt, I'm the most perfect, he knows, he's a good devotee. So Arjuna probably, he asks a question to Krishna. Krishna, okay, fine. Now tell me, how does he know that you are supreme? Has he read all Vedas? No. After reading scriptures, he'll come to this conclusion, no? Because otherwise, how he will know? So this means he has read all Vedas, all Puranas, all Upanishads, and then he has come to conclusion that you are supreme. Krishna says, no, Arjuna. So sarvavid, even if he has not read all Vedic scriptures, then how does he know that you are supreme? He has come in contact with my devotee. He has faith in my devotee. And he has heard from them that I am supreme. And even if he is ignorant of all the scriptures, anadhita shastriyapi, this is what Vishwachakri Thakur writes. He has not read Sanskrit. He has not read Nyaya. He has not read Rig Ved, Sam Ved, Yajur Ved, Athar Ved. He is ignorant. People laugh at him. Vedic scholars come and they say, oh, you don't know Vedas. You don't know even how to recite shlokas. You can laugh at them. You can say, you fools, you don't know what is the conclusion of Vedas. You know all Vedas, but you don't know conclusion. And I don't know any Veda, but I know conclusion. Who is better? Who is better? You have rice, you have dal, but you don't have gas to cook. And I have khichdi, I'm eating. Who is better? You have all items, but you can't cook and you can't eat. And I'm eating nice and tasty khichdi. Who is better? Of course I'm better, no? I didn't cook, somebody gave me. And it's nice, no? So who is better? This example is given by Nimbarkacharya. He says, who is better? You know that sweet made of milk, khoya, sweet. Huh? So you take you know ants. So if you make that sweet, ant will come, and it'll try to eat that. And what will happen? It'll keep on eating, and it'll die because of overeating. Ants die, no? They can't control if there's a lot of sweet. So if you have, it often happens, no? If in kitchen, if you forget some sugar solution, ants will come and they'll fall into that. They'll not fall. They'll go into that. They'll swim into that. they'll drink, they'll be so happy, and then finally they'll die because of over drinking or whatever. So, and then what sometimes will happen, then in Bhakacharya sometimes it happens, there's a lot of khoya, a lot of sugar, ants come, they eat sugar, they'll die, or they'll be roaming, and then the cook will come, he'll take all khoya, all sugar, and then he'll pound that, and this ant gets smashed up in that khoya and sugar, and it gets mixed up, finished, isn't it? So Nimbakacharya asks, and then this is about ant who goes in that sweet and it dies. And another person, and people like us, they take sweet and enjoy the sweet taste and they are happy. So who is better? Ant is better or people? You like us, no? We are better because we take sweet, we enjoy it, but ant cannot enjoy. It goes, it eats, and simply dies. Or there's another example given, if this doesn't click. There's another example given. If you serve, you know, halwa. If you serve that halwa with a spoon, so, and you are eating the same halwa with the spoon. Spoon cannot taste halwa, no? It can carry it. But you can taste, isn't it? So simply carrying the burden of scriptures and not being able to taste the scriptures. Tasting means not be able to come to the conclusion that Krishna is supreme. He is Rasik Shekhar. That's stupidity. Stupidity. Devotees are interested in tasting scriptures, not in reading them. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam says, Pibatam Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Drink Bhagavatam. Taste it. And what is so tasty in Vedas? There's just one thing. Krishna. That's all. Without Krishna, everything becomes tasteless. Becomes dry. Isn't it? So Krishna is sugar. If you don't have sugar, everything becomes tasteless. That is why if you go to Vrindavan, salt is called as Ramras and sugar is called as Krishna Ras. So if you happen to be in Vrindavan and if you sit and if you ask some Vrajvasi, please give me food, he'll say, okay, sit. And then he'll give you food. And then he'll ask you, do you want Ramras? And if you don't know, then he will say, from where, ki kahan se aaya bhai? Because you're supposed to know that salt is called Ramras and sugar is called Krishna Ras. Why? Because without salt, without sugar, there is no Ras. And Rajvasis know that without Krishna and Ram, there is no Ras in life. There is no bliss in life. That is why they call salt as Ram Ras and sugar as Krishna Ras. That's nice, no? That's how you can remember God. This is the art of remembering Krishna. You have to make your life in such a way so that you remember Krishna. Brajvasi is expert in this. So Vishwanath says, Sasarvavidh. Sarvavidh means, he knows everything means, he might not know all scriptures, but he knows the essence of all scriptures. Here the word Sarvavidh means he knows Sar. Sarva means everything. Vidh means no. Everything means essence. Simple. So this is how we have to translate this word here. So you don't need to read all Vedas. Just read Gita. Accept Krishna as supreme. You're done. Don't waste your time. And then what he does? Bhajati. He serves Krishna. He's not just a scholar. Oh, Krishna is supreme. And then what to do? Nothing. It doesn't happen like that. We then serve him. We love him. And then Vishwanath Chakra Thakur adds, then Krishna says one more line. Sarva bhavena bharata. Why does he add this? So Arjuna has one more question here. Okay, Krishna, fine. Your devotees know that you are supreme. How? They might be ignorant. They might not have read all scriptures. But they have faith. You are supreme. That's done. They don't waste time. They have come to this conclusion. If they know scriptures, that's well and good. But if they don't know, that's okay. Still they are on the end point. Fine. But I have one question. And my question is, there are many people who know scriptures. then why even after reading so many scriptures they are not able to understand that you are supreme? This is a good question, isn't it? Why? What's the problem? They have read all Vedas, all Upanishads, all Puranas, and they have also come in contact with your devotees, isn't it? They have read so many things. And if they are reading Vedas, they are of course in circle of spiritual people, wise people. They might have come in contact with their devotees. So why they have not come to this conclusion that you are supreme? How come such an ignorant person, he has come to this conclusion that you are supreme, and even after reading so many scriptures, that person, his scholar, he has not come to this conclusion that you are supreme? How is it? So Krishna answers this question. And Krishna says, Sarva Bhavena Bharata. This is good. So Vishwachakri Thakur says here, he says, see, Arjun, he explains this. He says, He says, Arjun, why they are not able to come to conclusion that I am supreme? Because they don't have bhava. This is the question. Don't have bhava. Bhava means here that Prabhupada translates that in all respects. In all respects. In other words, that those people who are reading scriptures, their aim of life is not to know God, who is Supreme Absolute Truth. They might be reading Vedas, but their aim of life is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. That is why they are confused, isn't it? So many Vedic scholars, they are interested in Dharma. Maybe or money, professional speakers, or maybe to fulfill their desires to attain heavenly planets. Karmakandis, Jnanis, Moksha, they are interested in Moksha liberation. But they are not interested to know Supreme Absolute Truth. And that's why they get confused. Sarva Bhavena. Their aim is not to know God. Bhava means emotions, isn't it? Their all emotions are not focused to know Absolute Truth. The emotions are many branched. Some emotions are going on money, some on liberation, some here and there. That's why they can't understand, they can't come to any conclusion, isn't it? So that's why Krishna says, Sarva Bhavena Bharata. My devotee, because his aim of life is to know who is Supreme Person, easily he can understand. I am Supreme. No, he is not confused. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, who is Supreme? Simple. For devotee, it's simple. Supreme should be one, isn't it? That's common sense. So why can't so many scholars, they can't understand that Supreme is one? They argue, Brahma is also Supreme, Vishnu is also Supreme, Shiva is also Supreme, Surya is also Supreme. There's foolishness. So Prabhupada says in one of his lecture, they are so fools and they don't even have common sense. They have crammed so many Sanskrit Vedic verses and they don't even have common sense that Supreme means one. Probably they have understood, they have learned Sanskrit, but they don't know English. Supreme means one. Param means one. So, that's why Krishna says, Sarva Bhavena Bharata. So, remember this verse. And by quoting this verse, you can defeat anybody. So, Prabhupada says, don't waste your time in understanding, in going in. He has ended all preliminary processes of understanding. That is why in a Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we don't really waste time on reading Nyaya or other scriptures. No. Mahaprabhu came, he told, read Bhagavatam. Madhyastha Bhagavata Puran. Read Gita. It is, don't be so much adamant in proving Krishna is supreme. He is supreme, accept Gita. Invest your energy, not in coming to this conclusion Krishna is supreme. That's already concluded. No doubt. Invest your energy now in trying to love him. Sarva Bhavena Bharata. This is another meaning here. Bhava means love. So my devotee not only knows the sense that I am supreme, he also tries to love me. Focus your energy in loving me. Try to develop love before you die. Because if you don't love me, you love something else. Simple. Even if you know me, Krishna says, and if you don't love me, there is a risk. Because at the time of death, you will think whatever you love, and you're going there, simple. That's the point. So love me. Sarva bhavena bharata. Invest all your emotions in my lotus feet. Put all your emotions in me. And that's how your life will become perfect. So this verse is talking about sambandha, abhidhaya and prayojan, all three. Sambandha means relationship. So first two lines is talking about sambandha. Krishna is supreme, we are his servants, no? Purushottama, anybody who knows. Second line, sarvavid bhajati mam. Bhajati means abhidhaya. He serves me. And third is prayojan, sarva bhavena bharata. That is love. So all three in one verse. This is the most, one of the most important verses of Gita. One important verse is obviously Sardharan Paritajya, 18th chapter. Which verse?
66.
And this is another verse, 15:19. You should not forget this. Because you can quote anybody who says, how can you say Krishna is supreme? Just quote this. Just quote this. Finish. There's so many verses, Krishna is supreme, but quote this. And then explain it. Simple. Okay, any questions? Anything? So, no questions. So I think it's clear. Everything is clear. So I'll just conclude. That's all. So I told that that in this verse the word asammudo means without doubt. Purushottama means it's the most perfect Krishna. So sarvavid means two things. In case of Brahma and Shiva, it means sarvagya. In case of other pure devotees who are living entities, it means essence. They know the essence. And sarva bhavena means it can also mean two things, two interpretations. One, sarva bhavena means that he loves Krishna with all emotions, and another sarva bhavena means that his aim, the aim of devotee, is to know supreme absolute truth. There are two meanings. That's the conclusion of this verse. And finally, I told, if anybody asks, how do you know Krishna is supreme, just quote this verse. And you don't need to know all scriptures. Simply you need to know Krishna is supreme and loving. This is the conclusion of this verse. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.